All right. So I got to be honest with you. The first time I saw that, I thought it was funny. The second time I saw it, I watched it through, I began to think that it was highly offensive. And here's the reason why. Like, here's a guy that is just highlighting irrational fear. And we see that, right? Like, we see this around, we see it in people, and so he's kind of highlighting it, making fun of it. And yet, at the same time, here's the thing. The reality is all of us have some of that in us. And it may not be the same things that he's talking about. It may not be bugs or sickness or something like that, or what could happen to you, like somebody could murder you or something like that. It may not be those kinds of things, but if you've been in this series, one of the things that we've been talking about a lot is that it is just easy for us to be like what he's making fun of, or to be ruled by fear, to have things in our lives that we're afraid of that just cripple us. And hold us back and lead us into sin and lead us into hurting those who we love to protect ourselves, that it is just easy to be ruled by fear in your life. And so this is what you see. All of us in some ways are a little bit like what he's making fun of. And so in this series, what we set out to do is just, first of all, admit that we have fear, that fear is a reality because of what sin has done to the world, that we all face fear, we all have it, we all will. Fear is a reality. And so what we've been trying to do in this series is to say, is there any freedom from it? Or is there anything that Jesus has done, what Christ has accomplished on the cross when he died and rose again, and his reality, is there anything in that that will help us with the fears in our lives and set us free? And could we begin to say what David said? Remember warrior, king, top man David? He says, when I'm afraid. So he admits that fear is something that he has in his life, but he says, I'm going to put my trust in God, and in God who I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And so our hope is that we would discover what David discovered. But there's something about God and what he accomplishes and being in a relationship with him that frees us from the fears that can rule our lives. And this is what we're trying to figure out. Now, tonight, before we get into our text tonight, I got a review last week. Now, some of you were here last week and some of you weren't. But what we talked about last week is why God. Like, why is God so helpful to fear? Like, if David would say it's because of God, I trust in him, or what we learned from Scripture last week is over and over in Scripture, people are saying, I am not afraid because God is with me. Or God is saying, be not afraid because I am with you. And so the natural question for us to ask is, why does God help us? What is it about God? What can he do in us and for us that frees us from fear when I can't accomplish that myself? And so last week we looked at that. We looked through Scripture and we just began to kind of ask, well, what do we know about God? What do we see to be true about God that helps us with fear? And so what we learned last week is that God is big. The reason why being close to God, being in relationship with God, can set us free from fear is that God is huge. And so we looked at this big God. We looked at the book of Revelations. And so John, he's a guy who walked with Jesus. And yet later on in his life, he's in a place where him and a lot of people around him could be experiencing great amounts of fear because of their life and their world. And so Jesus shows up to John and shows him some truth about himself. And so this is what we see in Revelation chapter 1. Remember that? And so it was this picture of Jesus, and he's in robes, and he's got bronze feet, and he's holding stars, and his voice is like rushing waters, and he's puking a sword, right? It's coming out of his mouth, and it's this thing that we read, and we said, well, that is weird. Like, that's odd. Why does he look like that? But then what we said last week is that when we think about what those things represent in John's day, this is huge, that we, the stuff we learn about Jesus. Because what Jesus was showing John, first of all, is Jesus was showing him that he is perfect and complete and full of love. Or the word that I would use tonight is affection, that God is perfect in his affections for us. And so he shows himself to John, and John is fearful. He's on his face. He's fearing for his lives, and yet Jesus reaches out and puts his hand on his shoulders and says, "Don't be afraid." But God comes close to us. And when Moses saw God, God revealed himself as somebody who was compassionate and abounding in love. That God, as he looks at humanity, he has a great affection for us. He has a great love for us. He's perfect in that. And in all that he does it because he loves us. But not only does God love us, what John was showing us about Jesus as well is that God is perfect in his affection, but he's also perfect in his authority. That's what the robes were for, and that's what the voice of the rushing waters, it was just showing that Jesus had great authority over all things. But Jesus is loving, but he's also a great king who reigns over every king and every ruler who has ever been here and who ever will. And he's in charge of all of it. He has that kind of right. Like, that's what happens when you create everything. When you create it all, you have authority to be able to do with it what you want. It's up to you, and this is God. He's perfect in his authority, but he's also perfect in his ability. Or he's full of the ability to do whatever is needed and whatever he wants, right? I mean, that's what we see in some of these things, like the sword coming out of his mouth, that he has the ability to bring judgment or to deal with things. And as we read through Scripture, it says there's nothing that's impossible for God. That God can do whatever it is that he wants to do. He doesn't just have the authority, he has the ability to accomplish this. And so this is what God shows himself to people. He's perfect in his affections and his authority and his ability. And this is amazing when it all comes together. Remember this? Because see, if God was just loving, a lot of us, that's what we think about. We think about God being a loving God. But if God was just loving, but had no authority and ability, what would he be to us? I mean, I was thinking about that. I think if that was true, if God was just loving and had no authority and no ability, he would be like a little puppy, right? You know those yappy dogs, right, that'll sit on your lap and they'll love you and they'll lick you and all that kind of stuff. And so they're great, but you know what? If an intruder comes to your house, what can that yappy lap dog do? Yeah, like they could bark maybe, but that intruder is just going to kick it aside and deal with whatever he wants to. Like, that is not going to be able to protect you and do anything for you that is helpful. And so if this is God, if God just loves but has no ability or no authority, this is what we get. And it's the same in the other way. If God had all the ability and all the authority but doesn't have any love for us, then what would we get? Think about that. I mean, we would have this great king, this great authority who's in control over all things, and he doesn't care about anybody. You know what we call people like that? We call them dictators, right? And do you know what we like to do with dictators? But we don't like to be in their country, right? We don't like to, like, we like to deal with them. They tend to get overthrown. Like, they don't last very long. And God, if he was just perfect in one of these, but not all of these, this is what we would get. But together, this is beautiful and this is amazing that we have this God that has all of these things. And he's inviting us to be close to him. And he steps out and he puts his hand on us and he says, "Don't be afraid because I'm with you." And this is what we learned last week. But here's what I want to say tonight. This is what I do with that truth. See, this is a little insight into Matthias. You know, most of my life I've known this to be true about God. And I've believed it. I mean, if you gave me a test and you said, "What is God like?" and I had to write it out, or if it was multiple choice, I would get all of that right. I know these things about God, and I even believe these things about God, but here's the insight into me. While I know them and believe them about God, I am not always convinced that God is going to be those things for me. But do you know what I mean by that? That we can agree, oh yeah, I believe that God is big, and I believe that God did those things in the Bible, and I believe that He's like that, but I am unsure that He will be like that for me. Little old Matthias in Washougal, with the life that I live. And do you know how I can tell that? I can tell it because I know about God, and I believe this, and yet, honestly, when I look at my life, I'm still afraid a lot. And when I look at my life, I still see the evidence of fear, and what people around us, what everybody else, whether they're with God or not, they tend to do the same things with fear. When I'm afraid, I still avoid things that I'm afraid of. Like I still try to fortress my life. You know what I mean by that? I try to build barriers around my life to make it as safe, to make it as comfortable as that is, so nothing hard happens, nothing scary happens, and I just avoid anything that's maybe going to make me fearful. So much of my life, I was terrified to try anything new, especially in front of people, because I was terrified that I wouldn't be able to do it right. Or I wouldn't be able to do it good or well, and people wouldn't respect me. And so anything, especially in front of people, so like the game we played tonight with the seniors, when I was in high school, if I would have been picked for that game, I would have been terrified to do that. Because I was just doing something that was new for me to do, and I wasn't sure if I could do it in front of people. And so I worked really hard all the time in my life to avoid those kinds of things. Or I would avoid sharing Jesus with people. Maybe you're like that in your life. Like, I remember those friends of mine in college, and they would make decisions like, we're going to go out, we're going to invite all the people in our dorm to church, or we're going to, you know, we're just going to take an hour, we're going to go meet somebody, and we're going to tell them about Jesus. And I would always kind of like laugh and say like, yeah, that's a great idea, that's cool, you should do that and everything. But when it came down to it, the time that we would set to go out and share, I would always have an excuse. I got too much homework to do, or I got to be here, I got to do this. And so I just look at my life, and I can see, while I believe that God is perfect and His affection and authority and ability great in all of these things, I'm skeptical that He will be that for me. And so I still avoid. I avoid, or I worry. Does anybody worry in their lives? Like I would worry about all the what ifs. Like what if this happens? I remember being in high school and in health class, and they talked about the fact that teenagers can get cancer. And I remember that they kind of were teaching the girls and teaching the guys to check themselves, right? And so the guys, it was the testicles, I'm just going to say it. And so I remember, like, they would tell you should do that often. And I always remember being terrified to even do that, because I remember thinking, what if I found a lump? Like, what would that mean? What would happen? What would that be like? How would my life change? I mean, we worry about the what ifs. Like what if a friend leaves, or what if I get in a car accident, or what if I fail this class, or what if something bad happens at camp, or what if, like, I get hurt by that girl that I like, or whatever. And so we just worry and worry and worry, and we say that we believe these things to be true about God, but we have to admit, if we see avoidance and worry in our lives, then we don't believe that fully for me. There's no freedom in that, is there? Like, we are still trapped by it. We are still ruled by fear. And so we can believe those things about God, and we can say they're true, and we can have a relationship with God, but we're still in this place, right? And I just wonder tonight if any of you are like me in that. And so here's what I want to do. What I want to do is I want to give us some help about that. some help for those of us who say, yeah, I believe what the Bible is saying, but I'm still not sure if it's true for me. And what I want to do is I just want to read two passages. I want to do it as quickly as I can. And they're not passages that give us like point one and point two of things that you can do to help in this situation. They actually show us a little bit more about God. And they might make us nervous at first, but they help. So are you in Matthew chapter 8? So this is the first passage. It's a little story about Jesus. And so there's stories about Jesus sometimes that make you feel good. Like you hear about him and he has little kids coming to him and he's praying for them and he's healing people, and those things make me feel good about Jesus. I like that about Jesus. This one, I'm not sure if it's the same. This is what it says in Matthew 8. It says, "Then he," that's Jesus, "got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' And he replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' And then he got up, and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed, and they asked, 'What kind of a man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?'" So Jesus loves us, right? He loves me, he loves you. He loves the disciples, right? They're his best friends. Here's the question I ask when I read this story. If Jesus loved these guys, why does he take them out in a boat in a storm? Now, when they go, it's calm, but again, think about this. Jesus has all ability, all authority. It's under his control. We know this because he can stand up in the middle of the storm and say, "Be quiet," and it stops, right? And so he's got this beforehand, and yet Jesus still, he gets in a boat, he goes out on a calm lake, and he falls asleep knowing a storm's going to come. And this was a dangerous situation, right? Do you know how we know it's dangerous? It's so dangerous that the disciples, when they wake up Jesus, they wake him up convinced that they are going to drown, right? And some of these disciples were fishermen. In other words, they had grown up most days of their life being out on the very lake that these guys were on, and they are terrified for their life. This is a dangerous situation. And so why would Jesus, who loves, take these guys out on a boat into this? I mean, that's what I ask. Because a lot of times when we think about God loving us, we think that that means that God will keep us safe in the way that we want to be safe, right? That God will make everything in my life comfortable. No risk, nothing bad could happen. Everything will be nice, and it's like I'm sitting on a beach and drinking a Pepsi, and this is what God will do for me because he loves me. And yet, like, stories like this show me something different. See, here's the thing about God. It's God knows that we like to avoid the things that we fear. And you know what I find to be true about God? Is that God loves us enough to not let us do that. God loves us enough that he will even at times bring us into situations that are a little bit big, that are a little bit overwhelming, to break down the fortress in our lives so that we will know him. I mean, think about these guys for a moment. What did they know about Jesus before this experience? They knew Jesus was an amazing guy who taught people, healed people, things like this. They go out on a lake. They get in a storm. They wake Jesus up. Jesus speaks and everything stops. And what do they know about Jesus now? Man, he's more than just an average guy, right? There's something huge about him. There's something that's almost scary about him. This is amazing. And Jesus, in his love for these men, knew they needed to see that. And see, as I look at my life, I see that God does the same thing with me. See, you can avoid fear. You can work your butt off trying to make your life as safe as you want it to be. And so you can try to control it, and you can do all of these kinds of things. You know what I find about God is over time, God brings those things still into our lives, no matter how much I try. So I'm scared to death to tell people about Jesus. I'm just afraid. And God loves me enough to say, no, I want more for you than that. And so one day somebody asks me, like I've avoided it my whole life, when somebody just comes out and says, tell me how to follow Jesus. And then I go to a conference, and I go to a conference honestly just because there was a girl that was going that I liked. And I get to this conference, and do you know what they do at the conference? They take you out to share Christ. And so I had a big decision. Do I run home and leave this girl that I was kind of interested in just to protect myself, or do I actually do it? And I did it. And I just find that God, over time, He loves me enough that He pushes me out even to the things that I try so hard to avoid. God is like this. And every time I have to deal with something, every time I have to face something like that, where I can't stop it anymore, and then I just go for it, you know what I find? After I'm done, I think to myself, why didn't I do that earlier? And what was I so afraid of? You can avoid, but over time, God's going to move. He's going to break down your fortress because He loves you. And so sometimes that makes us worry then. Well, what if? I mean, what if that thing that I'm so afraid of, what if it's in front of me tomorrow? Is God going to be enough? What is going to happen? Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it's in your notes. This is possibly one of the most famous verses in the Bible. You see it on calendars. You see it on coffee mugs. You see it on things like this. And it's great and it's important. This is what David writes. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside quiet waters. And He refreshes my soul. And He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. There it is again. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely Your goodness and Your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when we read the Bible, God is always revealing something about Himself to us. Something we need to know. And a lot of times it's about how God is going to relate to us. And so sometimes He gives us these pictures that we can grab onto. And so sometimes says God and us, it's like this. Like God is a perfect Father to us, and we are like His dearly loved child. He'll say that a lot. If you want to understand how God wants to relate to you, look at a great dad and his kids. That's a good picture. And sometimes God will say, well, it's like you're a bride and I'm the groom coming to enter into a relationship with you. And so He describes something again that we see. We go to weddings and we see this, and God says it's like this too. And here through David, God says it's like I'm a shepherd and you're sheep. And this is how you need to understand the relationship that you have with Jesus. If you know Him, if you've said, yes, God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I need You. I want to be in relationship with You. You enter into this relationship where God is a shepherd to you, and you are a sheep, right? And He says here some things that the shepherd does. He refreshes you. He leads you. You lack nothing. Because of your relationship with the shepherd. There's nothing you need. There's nothing that you go without. that you absolutely need. It says He guides you in the path that is right. And then the thing that's really important, He says this in verse 4, that He walks through the valley, the dark valley with us. I want you to underline on your notes that phrase, that whole verse. And I read that verse and I think to myself, well, what does He mean by the darkest valley? Or some versions say, the valley of the shadow of death, right? Like when I read that, I think about the worst situations in life, the scariest things that we could face. So if you watched the news this week, the tornadoes throughout the Midwest, right? And these are horrible things. Like if you watched what happened, there was a tornado that came through kind of the outskirts of Oklahoma City, right? And this tornado wiped out thousands of homes and a couple schools, and many people were even killed, some of them children. And so I saw an interview of a dad, and he had a little girl about the age of my daughter, and his girl had survived this tornado, and he's being interviewed, and he's just saying, like, what do I say to my daughter? Like our house is gone, everything around us is gone, some of her friends were killed, her school is destroyed. What do I say to her? Like, when I think about the darkest valley, the things that David is talking about, I think about situations like this. And they happen, right? Like, in America. And they happen around us, right? Like when I think about that in my own life, I think about about 9 years ago, and it was in the middle of Dunes Camp, and my dad went in for surgery. And it wasn't a routine thing, but he went in, and the surgery went well, and I left Dunes Camp for a day just to come home, visit him in the hospital, hang out with him for a few hours. It was awesome. We watched baseball. And then I went home to my bed to sleep, and then I was going to get up. I was going to go see my dad and go back to camp. And at 4:30 in the morning, the phone rang, and it was my mom. And overnight, my dad had died in the hospital. 2 days before my daughter Anne was born. And when I think about the darkest times, I think about things like that. Or, like, seriously, I'm at camp last year. And everybody gets out finally for the first day, and I'm exhausted because we've just been working hard to get camp running. And I go in my tent, and I lay down for a nap, and the phone rings, and it's my friend Greg, and he says, hey, this happened. But there was two young men, they fell in at the waterfall, and we haven't seen them. And I remember I had to ask him a couple times, what do you mean you haven't seen them? He's like, we haven't seen them. And I asked him, how long has that been? And he said, it's been at least 10 minutes, right? When I think about the darkest times in life, I think about driving in my truck down there, or when the phone rang and I found out about my dad, or we think about the reality that these things happen, right? We can't always avoid them. What David is saying is that even in the valley, the darkest valley, do you know what he says about our shepherd? Our shepherd is there. That's the big thing. He's there. He's not removed, watching from a distance, hoping everything's okay, praying for you, trying to help you. He is there with you. Full of affection. Full of authority, full of ability for everything and anything that you need in that moment. And if you've been in that moment and you know Jesus, then you know it's true. That's all I can say. It's true. God is like that. And if you don't know that it's true, it just means that you haven't been in that moment yet with Jesus. But you know when you are, the thing that you worry about the most, He is there. And you'll be okay. So what are you afraid of? It's in our mind, yeah. And we write it on a piece of paper. But there comes a time in our lives when we need to believe that. and take a step. Say, God, can you be that for me? All the things I read about, all the things I see in the Bible, all the things that I look at when I look at older people and I admire how they trust God, there comes a time when God wants to be that for you in all things. So I got to keep asking you, what are you afraid of? And I ask you that because you need to admit it. You need to just say it. A lot of times we justify things. We say it's wisdom. I'm being smart. I'm being safe. All of these kinds of things. Just call it what it is. Say you are afraid. You're afraid of what would happen. You're afraid that God would not be enough. So call it what it is. I'm afraid. It's okay to say that. Big, burly warrior David said, when I'm afraid. So could you say it tonight? Could you say it to at least God, yourself, maybe to a friend, maybe to a leader, maybe to your parents? This is what I'm afraid of. This is what's holding me back. And secondly, would you be willing to invite God to work on that fear in your life? Like, would you be willing to say, God, I avoid this all the time, or God, I've tried to build up these barriers, would you just break them down? Would you work on this? Would you not let me be afraid? Would you be willing to ask that of God? And I think the last question is this. What's one thing that you can do to move past avoiding? And this kind of leads us into next week, because here's the thing. I'm not asking you to deal with every fear tonight in your life, but I would encourage you to think about one. One thing that you avoid, you know God wants it for you, you know it's important, and you still lie, or you still hurt people, or you do whatever it is to avoid it. What's the one thing that you could do this week to just take a step with that? And what we're going to find next week is that when we take one step, it helps us with the next step, and the bigger steps, and the bigger steps. So this week, it's, would you say, God, work on me in this? And what's one thing? Before we wrap up tonight, I want to give you some time to write. I find that writing is really helpful for me with my emotions, with my thoughts, to kind of bring what God is saying to me kind of into some clarity. And so there's some space on your notes, although some of you probably doodled in it, and that's fine. But I want to give you a moment to write about these questions, and then I'm gonna pray for us, and we're going to sing about this God a little bit more. But I'll give you some time to write. You know, there's a story about a dad who had a son who had an evil spirit in his life, and he brought this son to Jesus. And when he brought him to Jesus, it said his son lay down on the ground and was convulsing and foaming. It was a really kind of ugly, awkward thing. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything to help my son, would you? And Jesus says, if I can, he says, everything's possible for him who believes. And what the dad said next, I think, is what we need to hear. Because what the dad says next is, he says, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. I think it's okay to pray that. So God, I believe these things, but I want to believe them here. And I need to know them in my life for me. So I want to lead us in a prayer for that, and then we're going to sing. And I love the way that you guys think, and the way that you want to hear from God tonight. So thanks for listening. God, we're afraid. We're afraid of a lot of things. And we need you. We need you to be all the things that we read about in the Bible. We need you to be fully and completely those things for us. And God, I just admit that I believe that at times, but Lord, we just want to say it again. Help us with our unbelief. And God, as scary as it is, we just open our hands to you and we invite you to work on, to lead us out of the things that we're afraid of. We want to follow you. We want to trust you. We want to see you to be big and good as you are. So be that for all of us. Just this week, Lord. And God, if these things are true about you, then we have reason to sing. We have reason to talk about how amazing you are, to tell you that, to enjoy that, to love you for that. And so that's what we want to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.